Look at this handsome boy.
Yeah, do what you do.
You're so handsome. Look at this red hair.
Hello and welcome to 2021 for Hot Marriage, Cool Parents. This is still the same host, Doug Hainer and Jamie Hainer, a.k.a. Jamie Otis, a.k.a. Supermom and Superwife, who's checking Instagram as we're recording right now.
Okay, sorry. Yes, welcome to 2021. Good riddance 2020, although it wasn't all bad because it gave us our beautiful son, Hendrix, mm-hmm. and there's a silver lining to anything. But
who's still awake right now at 11 p.m.
Yeah, we're recording at 11 p.m. Henley's, thank God, as she's sleeping. But oh my goodness, he is, I think he's teething because he's currently mowing down on some frozen fruit, like inside a thingy.
Yes.
And so if you hear a little baby in the background, never mind us. It's, you know the drill. It's just our son, Hendrix.
Yeah. And we wanted to start out 2021 with a bang, meaning we have a phenomenal guest on and someone that is super famous and super open and super transparent. We've never had an Emmy nominated actress on the podcast before.
That is true. Although I feel like Lauren Lapkus, I feel like she has an Emmy nom coming her way someday soon. I really think she's honestly one of my top five favorite actresses.
The Wrong Missy put her completely on everybody's radar because it was a phenomenal movie. And if you haven't checked out that movie on Netflix, highly recommend it.
Yeah, for sure. But we are here today with Marcia Cross, who everybody knows the Desperate Housewives. Everybody was hooked on the Desperate Housewives.
I wasn't.
Doug,
I'm saying that right now. I wasn't.
Sure. That's what all the guys say. But no, I mean, she's obviously an incredible actress, like for sure, well-respected in the film industry and all that jazz, in Hollywood, I should say.
And, I mean, it was a very likely beginning that Jamie and Marcia Cross had. I mean, it starts off like any personal relationship over HPV.
Yeah, like doesn't everybody connect over an STI?
Yeah. Why not?
She's great though. Like her team had actually reached out to me after I had shared a little bit about my own HPV issue, and they've just been so incredibly helpful because she has a whole board for the HPV Alliance. She's part of this whole board and they invited me to be a part of the board, which I'm forever thankful for. And there's doctors and nurses and a lot of different very intelligent people, you know, but mostly Marcia has done such an incredible job sharing her story of anal cancer. She was diagnosed with anal cancer from HPV, and now she's on a mission to help spread awareness because, you know, you just think that like people don't want to talk about their anus because it's, you know, quote unquote, like there's a stigma to it, which is absolutely ridiculous.
And she loves her anus.
Yeah, my anus.
I guess so. I mean,
we're a bunch of anus loving people over here.
When she started to talk about it, it was like she had such an infatuation with it, which because, I mean,
Doug,
it is, like she highlights, it plays such an important role in regulating your body. And it is this little thing that's 2 inches away. And she really paints
2 inches away.
Well, you know,
away from what?
From the outside. but she explains how important this thing is.
This thing called our anus. Yeah, it is important. Just the same as like every other part of our body is important.
And just as important as our 5-star reviews. And we always like to give a shout out to a 5-star reviewer. And the first one of 2021 comes from Needs Update. That's the person's name. Never watched MAPS. I stumbled upon Jamie and Doug while listening to an interview Jamie did on a podcast, Mommy's Tell All. Had no idea who she was or her story. While listening to the interview, I loved her energy, her outlook on life, and how strong she is with telling her story. I felt connected to her as I am a maternal child health nurse in New York City and was pregnant during quarantine at the same time Jamie was with Hendrix. My first baby, a little girl, Charlie, was born on May 7th, 2020. I started following her and Doug on Instagram and have been addicted to this podcast ever since. Still have to watch their love story unfold on MAPS. Can't wait to hear more realness and authentic marriage and parenting advice. Thank you so much. I love hearing that. You know, someone that's never watched our season, but stumbles across us on Instagram. And, you know, I know we mention this a lot and I don't want to kind of hammer it home again, but for 2021, I mean, it's not going to be any different than 2020. We plan on keeping it very real, raw, not holding anything back. And just before we get to Marcia Cross, because it's a phenomenal interview and it was such a great conversation, And so if you didn't listen to our last podcast, there was a big, big announcement made by me, and my dream job has finally come true, a stay-at-home dad.
That's my dream job, a stay-at-home mom.
I know. I am so fortunate to have such a hardworking wife and a super mom and someone that is so passionate about family and about business. And I don't know where it came from, because considering where she started and where she is now, it's just mind-boggling. And you can get her book, Wifey 101. Shameful plug right there. But she's making our dreams come true and her dream come true. So the announcement made was I had quit my job, become a stay-at-home dad, but also started a YouTube Kids channel. And if you haven't checked it out, we have a ton of videos up there now. We're going to continue to post one every other day. So it's Hanging with the Hainer Kids. If you have little ones, it's all about family, fun, learning, toys, friends. Every time that I started to interact with Henley and every video that I see her watch on the tablet or on YouTube, I felt like I wanted to do something like that where it's more learning. So that's what we started. We have a lot of fun videos that are up there. And I'm talking way too much about our YouTube channel, but
no,
check
I think
it out.
It's so, I like love how passionate you are about it. And I feel like it's awesome that we are able to kind of document our own.
You should see Hendrix right now. He's in some little rocker and he's arching his back and trying to slip out of it. But Jamie was about to give me some praises. So go ahead, Jamie.
No, I was just saying that I really think that I'm just really proud and impressed. I know that you have worked really hard. Henley absolutely loves doing it with you. And I'm really impressed. I mean, we have an amazing assistant, Rachel, who helps put the videos together.
Yeah, she kills it.
And she, like, you can even hear her voice. She does a little voiceover sometimes. But like the most recent video they just put out was this pizza dough one. And Henley's like giving directions on how to make pizza. And if you have a little one and you want them to watch something that's educational rather than just boring or like not mind-numbing, highly recommend my hubby's YouTube channel, Hanging with the Hainer Kids.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stop-motion stuff. So playing with toys, making videos out of clay, and I put a lot of time and heart into it, and I really do love it and enjoy it. And so check it out if you want. But I don't want to take too much time away from such an important interview, such an important topic like HPV awareness. And Marcia Cross is really passionate about this, and it really comes off in the interview. So I think it's about time that we get Marcia on.
Yes, let's bring her on. Okay, guys, so this week's guest is someone I'm sure a lot of you know. If you used to watch Desperate Housewives or if you're into soap operas, I'm sure you know our next guest today. Her name is Marcia Cross, and she's an Emmy-nominated actress and a two-time SAGs Award winner. She's a mama to twin daughters and a cancer survivor. I met her through my work with HPV Alliance, where we try to spread awareness on all things HPV. Welcome to the podcast, Marcia. Thank you so much for taking the time out to be here with us today.
Thank you, and thank you so much for having me and for doing this, the work you're doing. I'm so thrilled.
Oh my goodness. I can't thank you enough for the work that you're doing and for the way that you've been so transparent, because you are without a doubt helping countless people. And honestly, every time I talk to you, I feel so inspired to just to not put off the doctor's appointment and to actually get thoroughly examined. So before we get into the heavy cancer and the HPV talk, I just wanted to, you know, thank you again for showing up. But also, I wanted to kind of get your whole story about how you got the cancer diagnosis and just kind of, I wanted to hear it from you exactly what your experience was.
Well, okay. I went to my gynecologist, and I only went to her because, you know, I'm on a hormone patch for my age, you know, that kind of thing. And you don't know about that yet. But anyway, and she wouldn't refill my prescription because she's a good gynecologist. She said she's got to come in for her appointment. Now, as we all know, life goes by so fast. I literally thought I had been there 6 months before. Well, that wasn't the case. It was like 14 months or something. So I'm in there and I love my gynecologist. I have an appointment. We go through everything and we're chatting, and then she leaves the room and she comes back and she says, you know, I kind of felt something. I'd like you to go see this doctor down the street. And I made you an appointment. I said, okay. We said goodbye. Thought nothing of it. In fact, mostly I thought, oh God, I don't want to go to that appointment. I'm going to miss my daughter's basketball game, right? I was thinking nothing. I really literally was just in the clouds. And I go to the doctor because it was a respectful thing to do. She had called for me. And the woman examined me and came around the table and said, well, I just want you to know that because we talked about Halloween and our kids and whatnot. And so she said, I just want you to know that whatever it is, it's curable.
Oh.
Well, I mean, I left my body so fast. And I mean, who says something's curable? Like, well, right. Then you know it's cancer related. And I left there just, oh, no, I didn't leave there. She had me schedule a colonoscopy and sent me right to the front of the line. I knew I was going, you know, as soon as enough time was done for me to do the prep, I was going in for that colonoscopy. And I just, well, just kind of floated home and was really, you know, discombobulated. And basically we did a biopsy. I waited for like 3 days to hear the results. And she said, well, it did not come back cancerous, but I do believe that it is. I mean, how about that for it? Like, I'm like, what? Wow. So I was in this lovely state of denial. Like, well, if it doesn't say it is. I then had the colonoscopy and another biopsy taken at another hospital, and it came back that it was diagnosed with squamous cell carcinoma, and it was a grade 2 tumor, which is pretty good prognosis, 2 centimeters. It's not so big. But the way my gynecologist caught it was because she did a digital rectal exam. I was having no symptoms. I didn't feel anything, no bleeding, nothing. And she, this gynecologist, her name is Dr. Nancy Goldman, and she just retired, unfortunately. And I'd seen her for decades. And she, it was just part of her routine that she just did that. And she saved my life.
That.
And it takes all of about, you know, I didn't even, you know, 2-3 minutes you're chatting. She's just doing her thing. You know, she's going in all your body parts. It's just one more.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
I mean, you're already splayed. Like, it's not like a big deal.
Like, exactly.
You know, I always kind of leave my body then too and just be, you know, you try to relax and kind of like think of something pleasant, right?
Right. While
it's all happening.
As
so,
you're just
I mean, why that's not part of every gynecologist, and every gynecologist should be trained to do that exam, because right there, you could save so many lives. So anyway, we'll get back to that.
Yeah.
And then that's really the whole story. I mean, from there, it doesn't really matter. I, you know, to their standard routine. And
well, yeah. I mean, well, to take it from there, I mean, first and foremost, I just want to touch on the fact that you are saying that it should be a standard examination, just like you say. I mean, they're already there checking out your spread eagle. You're like, they're checking out your vagina and all the things. Why not just quickly? Yeah. It probably takes 1 or 2 minutes to check for, you know, any signs of anal cancer.
And literally.
Interesting that you say you had no signs or symptoms prior. It's not like you were bleeding. It's not like you had, you know, some pain or something of that nature. Like, there was literally no signs, but yet you had anal cancer. I mean, that is such an eye-opening story, because I feel like, you know, the fact that you were able to catch it, and thank God for your doctor. I'm like bummed she's retired, because I kind of want to go see her myself. But
I'm going to get her on the board of our organization.
Yeah. Like, I mean, wow. I'm almost like so proud of this doctor for not, you know, I don't know, just cutting corners, because I don't know, because
right.
Everybody does, I guess.
Who wants to do that? Exactly. Like, no one's looking. It's not required.
Right. Yeah.
So that's a personal integrity issue of how she ran her practice for all those years. So.
Oh my gosh. I want a doctor like that in my life for real. But then, you know, so real fast, I wanted to touch base on like, what is anal cancer, and what was like the recovery process like for you? I know that you had to go through radiation.
Right. Yeah. Well, okay. So as we now know, which I didn't even know at that time, this is how ignorant I was. Even after my husband having throat cancer a decade ago, I still was not aware that throat cancer, anal cancer, cervical cancer, vaginal, penile, I'm probably skipping a couple, are caused by the HPV virus. Mm-hmm. So you get this virus, it's ubiquitous, meaning that if you have sex, probably you have it or you've gotten it. And sometimes it stays in your body in such a way that the cells start to mutate wherever it takes up residence. Sometimes it stays in there for decades. These doctors that I talk to think that it was probably in my body from my 20s or 30s. I didn't get married till 40s, whatever. I mean, and you don't even have to have a lot of sex partners, which I didn't. Mm-hmm. It's just that prevalent. So where was I going? Oh, so, and the odd thing is I never had an HPV positive test.
Interesting.
So, which really is, my doctor was like, no, you've always tested negative. So it's very odd that whatever, that that's where that showed up or was hiding out or something. Uh-huh. But from what we know now and what I know now, the fact that I had a husband who had throat cancer from the HPV virus meant that I, of course, for no brainer, as much as everybody else should, even more so, should have been on the list to be checked regularly, right? For any kind of HPV cancers, right? Because we know, like, okay, well, that's around. So again, that's not, you know, nobody was on nobody's radar. Nobody said to me, well, this happened, you should be careful, because if you didn't already have it before, you certainly have it now. You know, they were just like, oh, you both probably had it years and years ago. The truth is, they don't know that much, as I'm sure you're finding out, about the virus. There's a lot of discussion and difference of opinion as to whether it, here's the word, clears. And by that, I mean, like, let's say you have a herpes virus or a cold sore, right? And it goes away. It doesn't mean it's not in your body.
Right.
You know, the virus lays dormant. So I've heard doctors use the word clear, although you clear the infection. It can go to literally undetectable levels, but that doesn't mean that it's not there. They're not 100% sure when it goes away. When they can't detect it anymore, they can't be certain that it's gone.
This is really interesting that you bring this up, because I remember our first conversation, you said to me, because I was so happy that, you know, I told you that I had HPV, that they caught that while I was or diagnosed that I should say while I was pregnant with my daughter. And then again with my son, and I had to go back and have the colposcopy. And then I had to go back and have a LEAP procedure just recently. And they said, yep, we got it all. And you said to me on the phone something about, you know, just be careful because, you know, maybe they say that they got it all, but it doesn't mean that it's gone. And I didn't quite know what you meant by that. So now I think I better understand how, you know, sure, maybe they got it there in that spot, but who knows? It could be in other areas. It could be laying dormant. Is that what you mean by that?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think it's inconclusive right now. We had a huge discussion on my last HPV Alliance call where one of the doctors says the absence of something like from a test isn't a guarantee that it's not there. And so this remains a bone of contention in terms of the terminology about how you speak about something, right? Like you said. So I'm not saying to you that, oh, it's going to come back and, you know, watch out. I'm not saying that to scare you,
but
I would never go down the road of like, okay, we know for a fact that that is never going to happen again or it's gone, because we know that's like, there are people who get the LEAP procedure, which I don't know that much about, just the basic gist of it. And it still comes back, right? And then they have to go do something else. So I'm sure they were told it's gone, right?
Yeah.
And then it came back. So,
well, I mean, I was told it was gone.
It's gone.
Yeah. I was told that it was gone after I had my first colposcopy with my daughter, and then it came back when I was pregnant, and it came back, I guess, so severe that I ended up having to have the LEAP procedure. So it is really interesting that you mentioned that, and I probably should have thought of that myself, but I guess I wanted to like highlight that for anybody who's listening, because maybe you were diagnosed with HPV when you were younger. Maybe you think that it's gone because you had a pap smear that came back or you know, a colposcopy that came back is fine. But I don't know, maybe you might want to double check just because you never know. And it certainly doesn't hurt to just double check, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so I wanted to also say, well, first of all, I am so sorry to hear about the amount of cancer that you've been exposed to. I mean, I know that you lost a boyfriend previously in your life.
Yeah. And when I was younger, that was incredibly traumatic. And that was a brain tumor and a whole different thing because it's a very deadly cancer. And so I don't know how much they're making, if they're making any strides on that cancer now, but luckily, and I can't do anything about that. He's gone. But these cancers are virus related and curable if they're caught in time. So that's, you know, it's a whole different ball game. But yes, I have had a little too much cancer in my life for sure.
Yeah. So one thing that I wanted to ask you is, so, you know, you realize you have HPV, you're diagnosed with HPV, the anal cancer, and thank goodness you're in remission. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes. You're in remission and you're doing well now. And so now you've kind of, it seems like you've, and I don't know an awful lot about how HPV Alliance came about, but it seems to me that you're doing an amazing job with HPV Alliance, which is this foundation that you co-founded. Is that right?
Well, I can't take the credit because I met this woman, who you know, because Lillian Krepel, and she knew a friend of my sister's. And so that person got in touch with my sister. My sister said, there's someone I think you're going to want to meet. And I picked up the phone immediately. And we've been pretty much fast friends ever since. And she went through anal cancer in New York while I was going through it out here. And she is a powerhouse. She has an incredible personality. Yeah. She's very organized and diligent and has rounded up all these fantastic people and put it all together. And yes, my name is on there and I do have a part of it, but I have to like hand it to her because she's phenomenal. She's phenomenal.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, go ahead. I was going to say, I'm just so incredibly proud and I admire the work that you're doing. And I was really happy to see that Jamie had gotten involved because it does take a few people to spread the word and then they tell people. And it's really something that everybody should be aware about. And just dealing with your situation, what advice do you have as a parent talking to your kids about HPV or being aware?
Well, I think, you know, I have 2 13. I think, unfortunately, you know, it's a virus that's out there and it's not different from any other virus. I mean, if you are so inclined, there is a vaccine out there. I'm always very careful not to be the vaccine touter, but my girls are being vaccinated because I want to do whatever I can to, you know, prevent these cancers if possible. I don't think behaviorally, except I mean, because you can even get this, you know, kissing and like there's just ways you can get it because it's a virus. So if you have sexual activity, that's why they try to get kids so young, because it's not just intercourse. It can be other things. And I'm not going to be very graphic right now because I don't think it's necessary, but we can imagine how things can spread.
Exactly. Okay? Yeah.
So that's why it doesn't make you a bad or a dirty person. It just means you're human and you've had, you know, sexual relationships with people. Or so in terms of the kids, luckily they're quarantined right now. So I'm not having a lot of
you know who they're around.
There's no boyfriends. There's no nothing. I'm sure it's totally the norm usually at 13, but right now it's like, it's not the topic of conversation. But anyway, so that will be the thing. And then I think, I don't know beyond that what to do. It's a great question.
Well,
what do you think?
I think the first thing that you brought up was the fact that A, you're not a dirty person if you have HPV. If you've contracted HPV, it doesn't even mean that you necessarily slept with someone. There are different ways that you can contract it. And obviously, if you're sexually active, that would increase your risk, but as it would with anything. And also kind of like you brought up, Marsha, you don't have to have several partners. So I feel like any sort of STD or STI, you're instantly pegged as someone who is quote unquote promiscuous or maybe like seen as quote unquote dirty. And that has just got to be like completely washed out of our brains because it's not the truth. I mean, you can sleep with one person. We all know this. And it could be your first person and you could get pregnant. You could catch an STD, an STI, all the things. And with
it could be your husband. You could have never been with anybody, got married, and that person had, I don't know, a couple partners or one other partner before you and they have it. And it doesn't really show up in men in the same way. So maybe they don't even know it. And then, you know, it just gets passed. So it's not like, you said, there's nothing dirty or
shameful about it. No. Yes. But I feel like there is such a stigma associated with HPV or any STI or STD. So I'm really thankful that you kind of like just kind of debunked that all. Like it's something that first and foremost, it is transmitted to both men and women. So it's not, I think a lot of times women in cervical cancer tend to be talked about a bit more, but men can also carry it and spread it and unfortunately get, you know, cancer from it. Like you were just mentioning, your husband had throat cancer.
Yeah. And I was kind of speaking to, cause I mean, my daughter Henley is 3 years old now and we're probably not going to have that type of conversation for at least, well, in my mind, at least 25 years before she has any sexual activity. But I remember growing up and I started to be active, I would say around 15 and 16 years old. And I remember the talk that my father had given and my mom had given. We're a very open family. I have no idea what they said to my sister. So it's, it's
interesting.
It's a very different conversation to be had with females.
I mean, I don't know though, Doug. I happen to think that like the conversation we have with our son and with our daughter, sorry, Marsha, now we're having like a marital dispute.
No, go for it. Go for it. I'm married. I know how this goes. Right.
Like, I think that both are absolutely responsible for being, you know, I think that traditionally, you know, it was always like you
take good care of your daughter and make sure they know for protection and all this. I think our sons need to know the same exact thing because men and women are, you know, just like I was saying, I guess. And obviously well,
about safety and concern. Yes. But the way that I talk to my son is going to be very different from the way that I talk to Henley.
But the content is going to be the same. I don't know how you plan on talking to our son or our daughter, but
it's going
to
be locker room talk, buddy, buddy type talk, because that was effective for me when I was younger and I felt comfortable. And I'm not saying that my
what
son's going
to mean, Doug. I'm kind of curious what that means, being yes, a woman, Marcia, not, what that means.
So
what does that mean?
Real quick, before we get to that, I want to mention how hot my wife looks right now in her Warby Parker glasses.
I mean, I'm such a beauty. What can I say? No, I absolutely love, love, love Warby Parker. And a lot of people have been asking on Instagram what my glasses are. And I have been bugging Warby Parker about getting a discount code for everyone because everyone wants to know.
So Warby Parker is committed to providing exceptional vision care online and in stores. Now they offer eyeglasses, sunglasses, eye exams, contact lenses, and they make it super affordable. So the glasses start at $95. They even offer the blue light lenses, which are available on all of their lenses. Right now, Warby Parker's free home try-on program is going on. So you can order 5 pair of glasses and try it at home absolutely free for 5 days. There's no obligation to buy. Shipping's free. It includes a prepaid return shipping label. So find the right pair of glasses online, take their quiz, take a look at how you look, show your friends, show your Instagram, show your followers.
You're making this such an ad.
I know.
So I needed a pair of glasses. I wanted to find obviously affordable ones. So I just went to their site. I found 5 different frames that I really, really liked. And then I tried them all on. I had Doug judge like which one he thought he liked the best. And then which one I liked the best. Of course, I put on Instagram, like which ones do you guys like the best?
And she was just wearing glasses. That's all she was wearing.
That's not true. I definitely had clothes on too. Doug wishes. But no, I mean, I just love how easy it is because you go to their site, you pick out frames you like, they ship it to you for free. And then you try them on, you send them back, and then you order the glasses that you like. It's literally that easy. It's incredible.
Yeah. So right now they have a free home try-on program. That's order 5 pair of glasses to try at home for free for 5 days. Just go to warbyparker.com/hotmarriage. So you can try 5 pair of glasses at home for free just by going to warbyparker.com/hotmarriage. Again, shipping is free. They include a prepaid return shipping label.
And if you're looking for a recommendation, I personally loved the Hayden style. I don't know if they still have it available, but yes, love Hayden.
Okay, so I want to give a huge shout out to one of our sponsors, which is the Mashi app. And for anyone that has kids, please listen up, especially if you are struggling to put your kids to bed or keep your kids asleep. The Mashi app is the number one sleep and mindfulness audio app for kids. They have hours upon hours of bedtime stories, relaxation, meditation tracks. This has been a game changer for Jamie and I. And what sold us is that Mashi is science-backed and proven to help kids fall asleep. Now, I've been using this with Henley, and it used to be a wrestling match between who's going to put Henley to bed, and then Henley will start to cry saying, I want to cuddle with mommy, and then she'll start to cry when mommy goes in, and I want to cuddle with daddy. And this Mashi app completely gave Jamie and I our evenings back. She's not just going to sleep. She's excited for the bedtime stories, and they're all original tracks. She loves Goldie Hawn's voice for whatever reason, but she actually is the narrator for one of the bedtime stories. Anyone that is struggling or has kids that suffer from anxiety or just in general are finding it hard to sleep or just go to sleep, definitely check out the Mashi app. You can download it on the App Store or Google Play Store. You can get access to a 1-week free trial of Mashi Premium. Again, that's M-O-S-H-I, Mashi app. This will be a game changer for any parent struggling to put their kids to bed or keep their kids asleep. It's not like I'm saying there wouldn't be a filter on our conversation, but I would want my son to know how to respect women, things to do. I would want him to know to be open with me, to ask for any advice. or if he has any questions, or, you know, I don't want him learning all of that from his peers and from pornography. So,
how is that different from the daughter then? I'm curious.
Well, I think that the psyche behind who she's going to get involved with, I want her to be able to recognize who good people are, who bad people are, to respect herself. Whereas a guy, it's a different conversation in my mind.
I mean, I can understand if your approach is different. Like, I envision with our daughter, we sit her down and we have a conversation because she's a girl. Maybe the only thing that I could see different for, and I guess we're just not there yet, so we're spatting this out now, which is probably a good time. We got some years to...
Thanks, Marcia.
You get some time. No,
but I think that I really do believe that our little boys and our little girls need to be told like the same thing. They need to be treated the same. Like, boys need to be held responsible, and so do girls when it comes to sexual activity and respect. And
I'm saying that I would give my son pointers and tips on sexual activity and doing things. I would not do that to my daughter.
Oh my goodness.
Got it. Because you're a male. You're going to let Jamie do that.
Yeah. I wouldn't go to my daughter and say, you know, guys really like it when you do this. But for my son, speaking from experience.
Oh my goodness, Douglas. Yeah. We're going to have a different conversation a different day, because that is not happening until he's like 30, I guess, and isn't married. And then I'll say, okay, give him some tips. But like,
better to learn from me than the internet.
And only, oh my gosh, Marcia.
You know, Doug, that actually, this is a whole other topic of conversation, but I really do feel, I'm going to just take 1 second to say that, you know, the whole pornography and internet and guy thing is really a big deal. And so I don't know where it's going to be when he's older, but it's really sad because I don't watch it, but what I've heard from this age group of mothers is that it's, you know, it's very, very misogynistic and, you know, and so... it's just really a terrible way, and there's so much of it, and it's so readily accessible.
It's so easily accessed.
It's really hurting young men and young women, obviously, because that's their idea. Okay, we're changing the subject, so you can check that later. There's a woman who's doing incredible work on that subject, but you have some time.
Yes. Martian, I'm not sure if Jamie had spoke to this, but starting from when you first found out that you had cancer until now, what are some of the most important lessons that you've learned?
Wow. Well, obviously, show up to your doctor's appointments, which is still a struggle for me because, you know, Lillian said, isn't it time for your scan? You know, and it's like, oh, God, right? I don't want to think about it because it's just so not fun. But yeah, so go to your doctor's appointments, you know, following up on follow-ups. And then after that, you know, just, you know, it's just friendships and people and love are the most important things. And you know, it's great to have a lot of success in your career. And as you probably know, that goes up and down. And, you know, but when I was, you know, going through this, I had a small army of women and friends who really just, I mean, like a cloud of goddesses, you know, ushered me through it and out the other side. Like, I just go like, I'm so lucky. And that's really the most important thing. And just continuing to focus on that and, you know, and nurture relationships and love. Like, that's the most important thing. And then, of course, health, being healthy. And I'm so not perfect, and that's still a struggle. But, you know, even if it's just walking every day and getting your, you know, all the boring things, like, we have to pay attention to our bodies. And I feel like with the internet, it's like we've all become couch potatoes and it's very difficult. And then we're the pandemic and, you know, so that's what I would say in terms of post-cancer.
And for anybody out there who is listening, who may have been recently diagnosed with HPV, or maybe they had been in the past, or, you know, may encounter a diagnosis in the future, what would you say as far as how to handle that diagnosis? And I know you were talking about, you know, different ways, like foods that you eat and moving your body and things of that nature. I would love to hear kind of what you recommend as a game plan to kind of keep HPV at bay.
Well, I think it's just about strengthening your immune system, you know, the basics. And I also take a mushroom supplement, which has been proven to really help reduce the virus. It's the only thing that has had studies on it.
Do you mind saying what that mushroom supplement is, just in case someone's listening?
I will in just a second. I want to make sure, because there's a few of them. I'm going to go get the bottle in a second. But yeah, I think it's just the basics, you know, very little sugar, moving your body, lots of water. I take those supplements. I take more supplements now. I feel somehow with the pandemic, I'm like, I need my more vitamin D and, you know, the basics. But I don't want to be, I would rather someone go on and look at a site that is really, we'll talk about the immune system. And I would say, educate yourself about it. That's what I would say. Mm-hmm. You know, work on your stress levels and, you know, keep a healthy worldview about, you know, what's important, because I have days where I go, I'm never gonna work again. And then it's like, oh my God, I'm alive. Like, you know, you swing, right? Like, it's like, I don't know, like you have to learn how to be with yourself and ride out life's ups and downs, but stay, you know, in a state of gratitude and centeredness as much as you can. And I see that right now in a little bubble in my own little house. You know, there are people suffering so much right now that it just kills me. Yeah. So I'm not saying that to the people who are grieving and who are hungry. I'm really not. Because, you know, I get what's going on. And that's, in fact, always going on. It's just going on more now. But
right.
So I don't want to sound flip in any way.
And you don't at all. I mean, and that's one of the most difficult things, I think, with this pandemic and with any ailment or illness is, you know, especially if sometimes when someone recovers and another person doesn't, then inevitably you have like survivor's guilt. And yes. I feel like those of us who haven't caught COVID or experienced a loss because of it, it's almost like survivor's guilt. Like you feel guilty for, you know, for having your health. But I think that's going to be a whole other topic for a whole other day because, you know, like we, first and foremost, I don't think anybody who has come with a bad brush with COVID would want anybody who hasn't to feel guilty, you know? So that's a whole different topic for a whole other day, but I hear what you're saying, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
I feel like I can't let this conversation end without chatting a little bit about your TV work, if you're open to it.
Sure. I just want to say one thing about the virus. You know, I hope that what the virus will teach subliminally, at least about others, about HPV, is that a virus is just contagious, right? We're not saying somebody's bad or good because they got the virus. Right. They just got it because they're living their lives because it passes from one person to another. There isn't, you know, a stigma on like whether you get the virus or not. Like it is a virus, just like chicken pox, or, you know, like, and so that's the part, you know, I have to say, I was so, and you can ask Leanne, I go, I'm not making this my life. I want to go back to my life. And I can't escape it because, you know, I think I was mentioned earlier that I heard from a woman who went to her gynecologist because she felt something and was told she had hemorrhoids, and then to another doctor and told she had hemorrhoids, got a colonoscopy and found out online on her computer that she had squamous cell carcinoma, a three plus centimeter tumor that had gone to her lymph nodes. So that's why I'm being verbal. Yes. Because it enrages me, because that woman should not be suffering and shouldn't be worrying about losing her life. She has two young children. She's not even 40.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just...
No, you know what? I actually wanted to touch base on that story because we were chatting a little bit before this call and you were telling me... Oh, there's the dog. I told you this was going to happen.
I love it. Sweet.
Go get him. Go attack, girl.
It's okay. I'm going to get my little bottle of...
I just wanted to touch base on this story because right before we started the podcast, you and I were just chatting briefly about this conversation that you had from someone who reached out to you on Instagram. And you were telling me, and you had just told everyone a little bit about it, how, you know, she thought maybe it was just hemorrhoids, turns out, but like she felt something and she knew it was something more. And so she went to the doctors and everybody just kind of said,
I'm sorry. She didn't know it. What happened was it finally prolapsed, which means it came out.
Oh,
like so enough so that, I mean, I've never even had a hemorrhoid, to tell you the truth. So I don't know, but I assume it came out enough short where she went like, that can't just be a hemorrhoid. That's where she got the colonoscopy. But she had been told by her doctors that it was just a
hemorrhoids.
Anyway, go ahead. Sorry. I just remember that part of the story.
Thanks for clarifying that because I do have hemorrhoids. And so, you know, and I think that some people who might mistake a hemorrhoid for something that could be something far worse, and, which makes me think I'm definitely going to get my exam. I am due for it anyways because I'm 6 months postpartum and I'm going to be like, can you check me rectally? Like, do you know how to do that? Because But the, right. The interesting part of that story that you were telling me about was the fact that she didn't hear from her doctor that she had cancer. She saw it on the health portal. So for those of you guys listening, the health portal, and I don't know if everybody has access to a health portal, but it seems like a lot of doctors now are giving you the ability to log into their quote unquote health portal so you can see your labs and, you know, what the doctor says about your diagnoses and things of that nature. And you're saying, Marcia, that that's how she found out. Isn't that right?
Yeah, she's a teacher and she was like checked in like during class or something and saw she had cancer. I mean, that poor woman like shaking, you know, and trying to teach her class and trying to track down the doctor. That's a whole nother, like, what the heck, right?
That is
awful.
It's just wild. And I just think that the biggest takeaway from that story is that, well, first of all, you know, be an advocate for your own health, because that's exactly what this woman was. I like want to, like, I don't know. I just want to tell her that, like, her story matters and that she's already inspired me because she was an advocate for her own health. Like she saw a doctor tell her, you know, oh, it's fine. It's just hemorrhoids or whatever. And then she was like, no, I can tell that it's not. And so she went to get another opinion and she followed through with the colonoscopy. And then she even, I mean, she went so much as to get the actual, to look at the portal. And I gotta be honest, I don't ever look at the portal. I don't even like signing up for it.
But like, what I will say, Jamie, which really this is the part that infuriates me is, in that time, though, it went to a stage 3, which goes to then goes to your lymph nodes. Now, my guess and hope and prayer will be that she will be fine and that they will get it all. But when each step, it becomes more and more dangerous. And so time is of the essence and it shouldn't take that long. I'm just going to leave it at that because I already said all the things that need to be done so that that doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, I think that's, I mean, it's such a valid point that you bring up.
Yeah, and also to what I found interesting in the people article that you had is really learning and being comfortable and not being ashamed of talking about this diagnosis or talking about your anus or health. And because it's one part where doctors may not be giving all of the information, but there's also the responsibility of the patient to really find out more information and get a baseline for your health. And notice things that are changing, but also not to be afraid or embarrassed to speak up if you think that there's something happening, whether it is something, don't wait till it gets to the emergency point. And I think that trying to destigmatize everything about this, it's only going to help people, both doctors and patients alike.
Yeah, exactly. It's not just patients. Doctors are no different. They're, you know, they're squeamish about talking about it too. I guess I'm so far past it now because I have shame about so many other things. I always joke, like if you saw the piles in my office right now and the mess and like, I have things where I just like die with shame and embarrassment. Like, you know, like, oh my God, all the things I don't do well, all the mistakes I make, all the balls, like, oh my God, I have so much shame. But this, I'm like, it's a body part. Yeah. You know, we all have one. And the other thing is you want that little baby to work. And I feel so lucky because mine does, you know, and if it doesn't, you have a whole nother thing you have to deal with. Like we won't go there, but you know, it's really important. I'm a big fan of it. I joke now, like, oh my God, what it does every day. You know, it's amazing, right? This little tiny thing. It's like, it's unbelievable. And I'm not even kidding. Like, I really do have that much. Like, I'm like, I honor that, you know? So I think it's silly that we don't just respect it as another, you know, body part that has an incredibly important job. So I'm not at all embarrassed about it anymore. It's been, and you won't be either. Like it'll become second nature and hopefully that will happen and it'll move the needle forward for everybody else.
And I think that's something that we can all get behind on, literally.
Pardon the pun.
Oh, you caught onto his wit so fast, Marcia. Giving it back to him. One more thing that I wanted to say for anybody, what kind of words do you have for someone who has recently been diagnosed with cancer, whether it's HPV related or not, you know, just in general? I feel like you have such, you know, far more experience than many people. And I feel like kind of the wisdom, the knowledge that you've gained from so much exposure is really going to be helpful for others. So what kind of advice do you have for somebody and or what kind of words would you have for someone who's been diagnosed with cancer or who may be, you know, going through treatment?
Well, the first thing I would say is that cancer in 2020, 21, wherever we are, isn't necessarily a death sentence, right? Mm. Cancer is something that happens in your body that says, this is not right. I'm making, you know, cells that are warped because something's not right here. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you're going to die. There are some more aggressive, you know, forms of cancer, and even sometimes there are miracles with those cancers, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that, first of all, just to have that attitude, it doesn't mean that there's not fear, right? Of course there's fear, but maybe just put the fear to good use and have it be a motivator to, you know, take care of yourself and do those things that we all know we should do every day, right? But that we push to the background, you know, mm-hmm. because it's not always easy to just do the simple things. And the other thing I would say is, you know, it's so different. You know, I've been a caretaker, which I'm great at. I'm terrible at being a housewife, but I'm great at being a caretaker.
Interesting you say so that.
It's true. They're just so opposite, right? And then being a cancer patient was really hard for me because it meant I had to accept and receive. And that's not really my nature. I'm kind of like, I'm an Aries. I'm independent. I love fiercely, but I'm not really always that comfortable being the receiver. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a way when you're a cancer patient that you have to be able to receive, and that there's a gift that happens to the person that, and this makes me cry. The people that are giving get a gift out of giving. Mm. And to receive is like a great thing because they get to feel this incredible part of themselves, you know? Mm. Like I watched each one of my girlfriends and I know they got something out of it, you know? Mm. It was brought out the best in them. So it's not just a one-way street. Mm. Sorry, I didn't think that was going to get me.
You know what though? I absolutely love your heart and just your transparency through your whole entire experience and the way that it has spurred you to become so passionate to try to help others. And I think that, you know, the fact that giving is what got you and the way that that just shows your heart, you know, it really, really does. And it shows that you are blessed with some great gals in your life who are there for you. And clearly, you know, you don't obviously take it for granted. And Marsha, I feel like you have been through so, so much and you just remain so strong and rock solid. And anybody would just forgive you if you just wanted to kind of hide away and just, you know, be thankful for every moment. But you're not. You are actively out there trying to help as many people as you can, you know, learn about HPV and to be advocates for themselves. And I just cannot thank you enough for, you know, I mean, you are a strength, you are a force to be reckoned with. And I feel thankful to know you and to be able to have had you on this podcast. And I'm sure everyone listening right now is so thankful that you, you know, had taken the time to just chat with us. So yeah, thank you so much. I don't want to take, you know, too much of your time, but,
I just want to say thank you back because obviously everything you've said to me is true for you, or you wouldn't be doing this and you wouldn't have gone public. And so I'm so grateful to have you as a, you know, co-crusader on this journey.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness. I wish I could do more. And I say to Lillian, you know, let me know what else I can do. And you're right. She's also a force to be reckoned with. Holy moly.
Force.
I'm like, if I could have an ounce of her energy, because she has so much energy.
Yes. Bubbles. She's a bubbler.
Yes. Oh, I hope one day to be able to meet her and you and be able to.
Oh, you will. We will all be in the same room, probably raising money for some cause, which is my least favorite thing to do. I don't mean some cause, this cause, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
Do some work when this is all over.
I can't wait. And definitely let me know if you guys need anything at all in the meantime. I am, you know, I'm here for you. And maybe another time when we have more time, we can chat a little bit about Desperate Housewives and all your fun, glamorous Hollywood life. But right now there's more important things to chat about. And I'm so glad that you took the time out to chat with us. And yeah, I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better conversation about HPV.
Aww.
And so thank you so much for being so transparent.
And enjoy your babies. I'm so jealous.
Oh, I will. Honestly, I gotta tell you, twin girls is my dream, Marsha. It's my dream.
It's pretty special. It's really lovely. It's a beautiful thing. I have to say, I got blessed very late in life, but Yeah. And they really have a great relationship. And yeah, it's really, I think even through this pandemic, you know, I know other friends and they're not as, you know, taken down by it just because they have each other, yeah. You know, so it's always like a little party with the two of them.
Aww, that, honestly, that is awesome. And there's nothing better. Yeah. Than, you know, we want more kids and I'm really praying that our daughter gets a sister because there's something about having a sister.
It's special.
Yeah. It really, really is. But yeah, so thank you again. And I won't keep you any longer from your sweet girls who are 13. And so I'm sure I'm sure you have lots to talk about with them and things to do. And, you know, lip gloss. I don't know if they're girly girls or not, but all the fun things.
A little of everything. Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay, Jamie. And thank you, Doug. Thank you so much.
He had to bop out to go grab our daughter, but.
By the way, I want you to know that I was watching The Crown the other night and that the queen and the king or whatever who he has, Philip, they were like having a, you know, big argument about what school the child was going to. And I looked at my husband. I said, see, no matter what couple you're, you know, who, whatever the couple is, there's always like what's best for the child. So
yeah.
That's just life. You'll figure out all that stuff later.
So true. And actually, I heard the queen. Okay. I'm always looking for a good recommendation. Do you recommend that? It's on Netflix, right?
Well, I wasn't watching it at first because, long reasons. But then, yes, lately, it's superb. The acting's superb. The cinematography is superb. And the Queen's Gambit, which is also quite brilliant. There's a lot of good stuff on. But you as kids, you don't even have time.
Yeah, it's true. But occasionally, we try.
Occasionally,
And oh my goodness, you just brought up a good point. I couldn't imagine being an actress and not just, you know, like you're an Emmy-nominated actress trying to watch TV. Like, I mean, you probably know all the ins and outs, and it's probably just difficult for you to just sit back and just get lost in a show because you're so talented in the field yourself.
It's good. You just have a million times more appreciation for it. Like I'll say to my girls, like, look at the cinematography, look at the lighting, like things we take for granted, you know, uh-huh. I just really bow down and, you know, if it's bad, yeah, I can't take it. But if it's good, I'm gone like everybody else. And probably because I know how difficult it is, even more like blown away, you know?
Yeah.
So
yes.
Yeah.
So interesting. Okay. Well, where can everybody find you if they wanted to be able to reach out to
right.
you?
I guess the best way is through my Instagram, which is @reallymarsha.
Uh-huh. And then if they wanted to reach out or learn more about HPV, I know that you work very closely with the HPV Alliance. We talked about that earlier on. Where can you find more information about the HPV Alliance?
I think that's at hpvalliance.com. And then if they have been diagnosed or have questions about anal cancer, that would be the Anal Cancer Foundation. And I can't remember right now if it's .org or .com, but try them both.
It's .org, analcancerfoundation.org.
Okay. And they're an incredible resource. Rock solid. Fantastic.
Wonderful.
And then the mushrooms that I take are this, it's called AHCC.
Okay.
And I take quality of life, but anybody can do some research on that if they're interested.
No, thank you for following up. You are amazing. Cause I got, this is like, I guess maybe mom brain. I'm just going to blame it on that. But you have,
no, I just happened to walk to the other room and put them right in front of me. Or I wouldn't have remembered.
we got talking and I forgot to follow up on that, but thank you for that. I'm going to throw those mushrooms in the show notes as well. So that those of you guys listening, if you, you know, don't have a pen and paper handy, I'm going to throw all of this information in the show notes. You can always come back to find all of this information right there. Marsha, thank you so very, very much. I hope you have a fabulous day. I'll be in touch with you for sure. Have fun with your girls.
Okay, great. All right. We'll see you sometime in the near future, Jamie.
Yes, absolutely. I'll talk to you soon, Marsha.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow. So Doug had to bop out to go grab our daughter. So we didn't want to interrupt Marsha in the midst of the conversation, but I'm so blown away by this woman because she had anal cancer, which now you're well aware. And if you weren't already, and she didn't let that, you know, I mean, of course there's going to be a stigma associated with cancer, with HPV, with anal cancer, because like people don't talk about their anus and they don't talk about different body parts. But I think it's so important, just like she said, to almost like normalize your anus. I mean, it's as important as your big toe, but no one thinks twice about your big toe. You know, it's actually more important probably than your big toe because it's actually like, you know, it's just any body part is important. And so I just love her heart. I love that she just felt comfortable to share her story and that she's able to help so many more people because of that. And it inspires me to be more transparent and just bolder and unapologetically live out my life and share what the things that I'm struggling with and the things that I'm going through, because you just never know who it might help. And so, you know, the fact that Marsha has been so transparent, it really has caused me to want to make sure I follow up with my doctor's appointments. I mean, I'm over 6 months postpartum. I'm almost 7 months now. And I was supposed to have the following checkup at 6 months. And you would think I would have already scheduled that, but I haven't yet. So if you're in the same boat as me and you haven't scheduled a certain appointment and you know that you need to get to it, I don't know. Here's your friendly reminder, because I'm, you know, you're my girlfriend and I don't want to like hound you like your mama does. But like, I think like Marsha says, it's really important that we don't just brush it off and put it aside, because if we catch something early enough, then it's a lot of times treatable. But if you just brush it off and just keep waiting, sometimes it's not as treatable. So here's your friendly reminder from the amazing Marsha Cross, but also, you know, from me or just your, you know, girlfriend telling you, go get checked if you think that you, if there's anything that you're concerned about, and also be your best advocate. I mean, truly, like, you just, doctors have 100, sometimes thousands of different patients, and they obviously are trying their absolute best, but they're only human and they could miss something. And so that story that Marsha shared about the person who checked her portal and found out she had cancer that way rather than from a doctor, it just goes to show that it's so important to be your own advocate and to stay on top of these things. And on that note, I'm going to go check my own portal because I haven't logged in forever. But yes, we have another amazing podcast episode next week. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on that. And until next week, be sure to, you know, wash your hands, wear your mask, and we love you guys. We'll talk to you next week.